It is good to see y'all guys today. 14 years condensed into that. If your picture wasn't up there, just again, next year is 15 years. That'll be probably a bigger time. We'll give it 4 minutes next year is what we'll do. It's really good to see y'all. I know not everyone's back from all their party going, reveling of the holidays. I'll tell you right now, I'm done. I remember once I walked up on the south rim of the Grand Canyon, and there was a little kind of portly young man. He was about 10 or 11. His sister was standing next to him, and he looks over at his sister and goes, "I'm just sick of these once-in-a-lifetime views." And I think that's the way I feel right now, but I'm just about sick of parties, and, you know, let's just get back to some reality, and I think this is good to have you here, as we do. I love connection, Let's bring it down a little bit. By the way, that was the Rolling Stones, if you don't know much about. By the way, I pronounce it the Rolling Stones because I once met a guy named Hubert Sumlin who played with Howlin' Wolf, and he said, "Hey, Pine Top, this is one of the Rolling Stones." He thought I was one of the Rolling Stones. But I learned then it's not the Rolling Stones, it's the Rolling Stones. But the Rolling Stones released that song in 1967, if you didn't know. Anyone born in 1967, raise your hand, you're old. And I was, so anyhow, that was a release of that there. And the point we played for you today was obviously that whole need of connection is the human thing. It's a human thing that we need. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, connection is defined as a situation in which two or more things have the same cause, origin, or goal. Humans have a fundamental need for contact with other humans in our interactions and relationships with other people. Form a network that supports us, makes our lives meaningful, and ultimately enables us to survive. For those of you who are into psychology, which is probably every one of you, barring the other 95%, and Abraham Maslow's hierarchical needs, and this was the only thing I remember back in high school, is Abraham Maslow's pyramid. Relational and belonging needs are superseded in importance only by survival and safety needs. It's the most natural thing for human beings to form relationships with others, and we are hardwired that way. Part of being connected is that we need not just friends and acquaintances, but we also need relationships too. You got that, Macy? Relationships. So that's my daughter. I wanted to know that's where we're at. So in that, the whole point of relationships, that's exactly what we do here today. It's an integral need of our lives. And I'll tell you, 14 years here at the Vineyard Church of Conroe, we've been in the business of helping people make connections. That's right, connections with God, connections with ourselves, and connection with others through Jesus Christ. That's what a church does. It connects us in all those areas. And for a lot of us, that can be difficult. We prefer to sit at home and not connected. But the truth is, you are hardwired for connections there. In reality, our life in Christ. You say, "I'm a Christian and you have a life in Christ." Well, it is a commitment to connection. You got me there? And you can write that down if you didn't know that, Brian Moore. There it is. It's a commitment to connection in Jesus Christ. You'd say, "Well, man, I just thought he was living in my heart and he and I could sit back and have those little discussions." And you can. But everything in Christ Jesus that you latch on to is going to lead you into connection with others, himself, and yourself. That's true. This is what Paul would write to the Colossians. He said in Colossians 1, one of my favorite verses, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." And listen to this. "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Now, when we read that there, Dr. Miller, we say, well, that's good that all things are held together by him. But by reason, if all things are held together by him, check this out here. We need to know this here, that we all must be interconnected. If everything's held together by him, then we are connected together. It stands to reason with that. And the great theologian and pastor from the 20th century, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and a lot of you are big fans of his, he wrote this here in Life Together. He said, "Christianity means community. Through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. Whether it is a brief single encounter or the daily fellowship of years, Christian community is only this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. He brought us together. And every friendship that is here, you may have known each other even before you came to Jesus Christ, but Christ has brought you here for this purpose and brought you to the Vineyard Church for this purpose of his kingdom and your life being connected with his and being explored as it is lived through him and with other people. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It is no mistake that you're here. Frank, I look at you and say, we know each other because of Jesus Christ, even though we met because I needed a guitar and you sold guitars. Jesus brought me to that guitar and you were there holding it, selling it to me, and I hope you made money on it. So as we sit back and say these things, Karen, we realize that that's what we've been here. As you started this year and you've come into the church, some of you, this is the new leap you're talking about in the new year. What is my new thing that I'm going to do? Well, let me call it out today, what I'm asking you to, and that is to make a commitment to connection in your life. And that's what each one of us are doing and calling it to. That's right. You see, a commitment to connection, and our human need is for connection. We've been wired for that. It's the call of Christ. So here comes the question I have today. Should it not be that dire commitment that we're being called to, should it not be high up on our desire of things to do this year, is to make a commitment to the connection that is going to be there, the connection to God, the connection to myself, and the connection to other people? It should be. You see, we want to know about connection, but we want to know, how do I get connected? What am I connecting to? Where are you taking me in this? Well, the Honorable Reverend Sleepy Ray said this here. He said, in order to make a connection, you must have a direction. Meaning, what are you telling me to connect to? How do I get there? And that is what we're going to be talking about in the next weeks or here, next couple of months, is going to help you, Mr. Turner, understand this here. How to make commitment to connection. Am I sitting back going to make you sign something? No, I'm not. You will be in some things, but that's not what I'm asking to. We're trying to demonstrate the way that we get connected and give you ways to do that and ways to see it, to give you exemplars on how we connect. And that's what we're going to be doing through this series that we call, right here again, he shows it, Committing to Connection. Do you like that Committed to Connection sign? I think you already showed it there, but that's okay. If you got it again, show it to me again. That guy there, there we go, a telephone. How old is that phone? I think it came from the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones 1967 tour, that's for sure. By the way, if you listen to that song and want to go on YouTube, you can hear Keith Richards trying to sing it. All right, we'll leave it at that. So this morning as we come saying, I want to connect with you, God. I want to connect with myself, and I want to connect with others. I need you to come, Holy Spirit. Because everything in me is geared towards self-preservation. It's geared towards me walling off. It's geared towards me making myself an individual and a stronger individual. And I would agree with that completely. But I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come and have his way with us. Have his way with us in these weeks that follow. Have his way with us as we met Jesus preeminent in our life this coming year. So I say, come, Holy Spirit, as you're even here now, move in our hearts. Let the words that we speak today carry the weight of the kingdom that are supposed to, and those that are not, that they be gone. But each person here today, Lord, is touched in a way that is powerful to them as you speak to their lives and connect with them. We say yes, Lord. We say yes. So come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when it comes to connecting with God, he wanted so much to connect with us, guys, that he sent one who embodied himself in the name of Jesus Christ. We just went through that at Christmas time. That he loved us so much that he sent Jesus' son to show us who he was, to reach out relationally to us, to have that connection that wasn't just something that was some Gnostic idea of some rules. It wasn't just a moral rule-binding book that Jesus brought. But he brought himself so that you might know the living God. He said, I know the Father, and I will reveal him to those I want to reveal him to. That Jesus has come to reveal the Father to us. To reveal him to us that we might be truly connected. To be friends. To be children of the Most High God, to be part of his kingdom, Dennis, Something much more of just living a good, pure life. But something that is a kingdom life that is relation. The relationality of it is so much higher than the morality of it. The morality is an outflow of the relationship. And you can have good morals and never have relationship. But morality flows out of relationship. And it certainly adds to the quality of that that is there. So I ask you this morning if you'll turn with me to John 15:5. I'm going to read some scriptures as I take you through these and explain to you what we're going to be hitting on in the next weeks. Have your Bibles with me and we'll go here. And I want you to see this here. Jesus used the metaphor of a vineyard. Hey, it works, doesn't it? To describe this, he said, I am, and I read from John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 7 says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great joy, great glory to my Father. I've loved you even as the Father has loved you. Loved me, excuse me. Remain in my love. I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Do you feel the power of him saying, come and remain in me. Live with me. Be connected with me. Let all your life source and all that you do flow out of that which I'm giving you. Because you may be a grape, but I'm the vine. And you're those branches hanging out there. And I'm feeding you that which you're supposed to have. There is no grape that can make itself grow and become tasty and come that of character. No grape can do it apart from the branches. Pull a grape off the vine, set it there. It will wilter and it will die. It will just fall apart. It will turn into a raisin in the sun. And the problem is many of us have become raisins and we're no longer grapes. In this vineyard, I'm calling us back to be grapes. Oh, that's right. He's a grape God, a grape God. So I'm saying in this metaphor that he has called us to become that of character which is hanging on the vine that is that of Jesus Christ. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And he's giving us that which the Father gave him, deep love, deep understanding of himself. He's connecting us to the Father. A connection with Christ, and I say this morning, if you're filling in blanks, is a commitment to spiritual growth. You understand, when I say I'm committing my life to Jesus Christ, I'm committed to spiritual growth. And for some of us, we just got through Christmas time, and spiritual growth is probably the last thing that we probably got all through that season right there. The only thing you got in growth was debt and a lot more things around your house. But this year, we're looking at this year going, I want to grow. I want to abide in you. I want to bear much fruit. And I want to know how to do that. How do I do that? And when we talk of spiritual growth, when we talk about abiding in him, there's certain things that we can talk about. It comes through connection with certain spiritual disciplines. That would mean things we intentionally do to connect with Jesus. That's the spiritual discipline. That's the way I'm going to define it for you today. I intentionally do this every day to get close to you, Jesus. What are the things in my life that are there? Are there any? Are the questions I have? And it's not about earning respect by him. It's not about earning your way to heaven. I just want to get closer to you. Am I saved? Yes, I am. Well, what do you do if you're saved? Well, saved from what? I'm saved for something, not from something. I'm saved for the kingdom life. And the kingdom life comes through spiritual growth and becoming like him and growing and learning from him. So this morning, I encourage us as we go through, and we'll be talking about this more. Each one of these will be teased out in sermons that follow Zach. So even you can come back from school occasionally and hear some of these. Now, the main things we will talk about are some of those spiritual disciplines. Susan has taught many classes on that. It's such a blessing to us with that. But some of it's fasting. Some of it's journaling. Some of it's just setting prayer time aside. Reading your Bibles. Understanding the Word of God. And if you look in some of your growth groups, you're going to see some of those groups specifically address these kind of things that are there. You'll walk through certain Bible classes or things of that nature. And that's what we're going to be talking about that are there. Now, when it comes to remaining in Jesus, and that's what we're talking about, another part of that is being a part of what is Him. And using another metaphor, this is what Paul says, is that Jesus has a physical body, and it is the church. Brian brought that out today, that this is one of the things we do. It is committing to the body at large. That's what we would call it that way. This is what Paul says in Romans 12:4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So it becomes obvious to us when we read the scriptures that are there in regard. There's much scripture. He uses that metaphor, the body, it's there. It becomes obvious to us that we're to be a part of that body. Let's just leave it at there. Would you agree with that reasoning that there's no way I can connect with God unless I'm connecting with Jesus, and the only way I'm connecting with Jesus is to be part of His body? Do we understand that? Part of the Vineyard Church? I hope so, but this isn't the only church that's there. Being part of the body of Jesus Christ. And that means that there I am functioning in some way that is working with another function part over here, where together we are creating a life together, as Bonhoeffer would write in his book. As I sit back and I think of that, I think of what is it that's going to happen at Body? Well, here's one. You're going to learn how to serve your community with your team members, your body members, as it were. You're going to learn to be a foot while someone else is an eye. You're going to learn that. The others, you're going to learn what you do. This is where we learn what we do and to function. And so as we talk about this in the coming weeks, one of the things we'll do is help you find what is the role for you that you like to play. Where do you fit in that sense? It's not always one place. Spiritual gifts aren't generally you got one and I got one. John Wimber used to say these are gracelets that function in such a way that when you're in a certain position, all of a sudden you get a prophetic gift, and all of a sudden you're able to help someone. You become an evangelist all of a sudden when someone's lost sitting next to you on an airplane. All of a sudden you become the great healer when your kid's sick and you lay hands on and pray for them. These kind of gifts come. But some of us have certain bents and certain things that are there, and that's what we want to see. But let me talk a little bit more about what Christ's body does in this sense here. And that is this here, that we begin to grow up together, learn about what it means to be a disciple. To be a disciple. You see, a connection with Christ's body is a commitment to discipleship. And you'll see something else next to that, and personal growth. Now, I put that there as you're writing that there so you'll understand this morning, and this is why. Many of us think of discipleship as a class I take on the week, you know. That's something I take. I check the boxes off. I know John 3:16. I know this one here. But personal growth, what it means to be a man who works, what it means to be a woman who goes out and is involved in the community, what does it mean to be a person who walks after Jesus Christ? How do I go out and walk around the mall on Black Friday? Do I club people in the back of the head like everyone else does? No, you hit them in the front. You give them a fighting chance. These kind of little nuances help us understand what it means. Most discipleship is actually done outside of the walls of the church, more so than in the walls, because it's there we learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that's why one of the things we're asking you to commit to is not just the body of attending on Sunday, which is a big part of it, but also asking you, as you're committing to connecting, that as Brian said earlier, connection happens most powerfully in these growth groups that we're putting out here for you. Why? Because there you actually get to know certain people. There they get to know you. That's scary, isn't it, Teresa Thornton? They get to know you. That's right. And even though we may be extroverts, we still don't want to be known that well. And the thing is, we get to be known. And what happens in that, there's where the personal growth comes in. I'll never forget when I quit touring as a big-time speaker and musician, and I came to plant a church, and I'm thinking, wow, this is different. And Brian Benita, who isn't with us here today, he's on another vacation, praise God, he comes up and says to me, you know, I don't like you. And I thought, well, we finally agree on something. I don't like you either. And I didn't. The point was, he says, we were looking so forward to you coming to this church and being a part of things. And you're just mean. And I thought, well, you're just weak. Meaning I realized there was this inability to really connect on a deeper level. I thought, I can always do this. I can do that right there. I can do all that. But I couldn't do this. I couldn't go deeper. Deep personal growth happens as we move into these areas. And so that's one of the things we're asking you to do, is to connect with God as you connect with the greater body. Do you got that, Hannah? You know that there. You're picking through your growth groups there. I know you may be traveling, but pick a growth group out. You may miss some of them because of you got to do this or the other, but don't let that keep you back from signing up saying, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try that. Heck, it's just 12 weeks. I think it's only 11 weeks maybe this time, and I'm going to get in there and I'm going to do it, and then if I hate those people, I'll tell them to their face just like the pastor told Brian Benita. And that's what we'll do. No, of course you won't do that. You'll love them. And we'll talk about that in a second. We better move forward. As we look down through here, we see that we also need to take go a little further in that we need to connect our spiritual lives, not just with Jesus and the Word and with the going to church. Dave Gleason, we need to attach those spiritual lives to ourselves. Meaning this here, that we need to come a little bit deeper, that there's often a break between what we believe and what we do. Would you agree with that? There's often a break between what we believe and what we do. Is anybody this week did something that went completely against what they really believe is the right thing? Raise your hand. There's a couple of you. Now, keep your hand up if you've done it just all week long. That's me. I mean, I believe in kindness, but it's not always the right, it's not always the response I give. I believe in mercy, but I have 8 children at home, and then, you know, so mercy isn't always what's given. Often there's where you put that towel on their head and pour the water, those kind of things. No, there's none of that. I forget what you call that there. Waterboarding. There's no waterboarding going on. Earl, you taught me that, but I don't use that technique, so there we go. But in that, no. Obviously, we realize that we want a connection. So as we look at this, discipleship is the implementation of Christ in our lives. And I'm going to read this to you, Romans 12, 1, 2. Here's the message, okay? And again, throw the waterboarding out. That was a joke. Please do not call CPS. There is nothing of that nature. So here's what I want you to do is what Paul says. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping. You're eating, you're going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Did you hear that? Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Embracing what God has for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. He goes on to say, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I love that verse there in the Message. Does it touch you? Did that resound? Did that hit anybody right there? Say it did if it did. Yeah. It does to me, too. Here's what I want you to fill in your blanks. So I want you to capture this here. You got it there? Nice beard, Joel. Here we go. A connection with ourself, yourself, myself, whatever self you want to put in there. But what I'm talking about, you connecting with you, is a commitment to emotional healing and maturity. And as you write that down, I'm going to talk a little bit about that there. Meaning God wants us to understand ourselves in a sense. Because if I'm ever going to get any type of healing or any growth, there has to be an emotional awareness of who I am, a deep awareness. So you could take the word emotional away, you could take it psychological, you could take it deep feelings, whatever you want to do. I want us to understand something. He wants us to know who we are because He knows us in depth. And He wants that when we look in the mirror, we see the person that He is seeing every day. Because if He wants us to grow up, we've got to know where we're lacking. And being able to look in the mirror, and James says this here, and seeing that person and remembering who it is the best way that we grow in maturity in Christ Jesus right now. The only way we come into a healing for emotional healing or any depth of healing is I realize that I'm immature. then I realize all of a sudden that I respond in ways that aren't healthy. Why do you respond that way? I don't know. It's just the way you're supposed to respond. No, it's not, because you got hurt when you were here, or you were hurt when you were there. You're unwilling to press in. Whatever it may be, he wants us to become aware of who we are, aware of our consolations as well as our desolations, though. Meaning, be aware of your desolations. Know the things that have destroyed you or hurt you or brought you down. But let's also be aware of our consolations, those things that console us, those things that make us excited, those things that really bring us life again, Faye. Because I don't care how old we get, we got those things that are there. And when we lose those, we lose the flavor of life in a sense. And he's calling us to this sense of knowing the things he's put in our heart, those dreams and desires are there. So if you look across this whole spectrum, he wants us to know the things that hurt and the things that excite us. And again, we'll have exercises that we'll be bringing around to you during this time. Hopefully you don't have to share them, but there are ways you can engage when you go home to look and say, hey, here's a list of those things here. I'm now beginning to see what others might see around me. I'm beginning to see why I'm selfish. I'm beginning to feel like, see why I have to give be a certain way to feel like I want everyone to love me or whatever it may be. Now, are these things or what are going to save you? No. We only say this so that as you know yourself, that you can bring that to Jesus and say, I need healing. I need you to come and move here. I want to know you in the deepest way. And that you would know this here, that he loves you. And that he doesn't just see you as the message board for his kingdom. I love witnesses. He's called us to witness, but he called you to witness because he's called that person. I'm living my life through you, Hannah, and the age you are and who you are. And I want to see that grow because you speak a language no one else speaks. And I want to speak it to the world through you. These are the things I'm talking about. I'm not saying that he loves everything about you, because there's some things about you that you've counted as personality. They're not personality. They're just flaws. And he wants to heal them. Okay, maybe I'm talking about myself more than you. I mean it. I don't want to live my life hating myself. And I don't want to live my life thinking too highly of myself either. I want to center on Christ Jesus, and that's going to explode in my life, even as he brings healing to me. Does that make sense what I'm talking about? He goes on, there's more connecting with yourself than just what's inside your heart and mind. We also must bring a distinct connectivity between the Spirit of God and what he wants for your physical lives. Now, can you know this here? You're going through these things. You and Sherry have given your life over to this great health experiment, which is probably why you're still here. It was a man his wife made him eat healthy all the time. She wouldn't let him, always said, you got to eat this food. Bill and Frank, you know what I'm talking about. You always worry, you know, he's always got to eat this food. He can't drink that chocolate shake. He can't eat that extra pound of jelly that Ken used to eat. And, you know, and he ends up living a good, healthy life. And then one day he and her both die, and they go to heaven, and there they are. Heaven is this beautiful golf course, and they're up on the links, and they're playing golf. And she says, isn't this beautiful? And he says, yes, and we could have been here 20 years ago if you hadn't put all that health stuff on me. So now the problem we have with this thought is that we often think like this. I just want to die and go to heaven. That we forget that Christ has died to give us life today and eternally. That Jesus Christ's body was resurrected, and he lives in that body, sitting at the right hand of the Father even today. And that you too will receive a resurrected body at the return of Jesus Christ. You're not a disembodied spirit, which means it's here. Your body counts for something. It's not this useless stuff that he has no plan for. Some of you are going, oh my gosh, I wish we could get rid of this thing. But the point is that's so Platonic. This is Plato's idea of the prison house of the soul. Your life means something. And you have impact here today. And I'm not telling you all of a sudden go into self-preservation, but I am saying taking care of our body is an important thing unto God in this sense, because I tell you, those that have passed on now that didn't take care of themselves, who meant so much to me, who meant so much to my children, I get upset sometimes and think, if you'd only tried, you could be here grandfathering my children. They loved you. You could have been here walking with them. but you didn't even try. Now, I'm not pointing a finger or things of that nature because we all go through difficulties of life. But I want to be the person who's there. I'm 52 years old. Some of you thought I was 32. I'm 52. Okay, though some people were liquored up somewhere right now. They're not here right now. But, and I had on glasses and a hat. But the thing is, I'm 52 and I have a two-year-old. I said to my children, I said, guys, I'm going to live to be 100 years old. That's my commitment to you. I said, now, I can't stop the things. If God wants to take me or some other fool wants to run me down, that's what they're going to do. But I'm committed to living as though I'm going to live to 100 years old. And my son David looked at me and he started crying. I said, what's wrong with you? He goes, I don't want you to die at 100 years old. I said, well, that's all you're getting. My hope is to live my life for the long run, to take care of myself. You see, a connection with our physical body is a commitment to health and longevity. Health and longevity. And I shared that a little bit the other day when I was at the hospital and I saw people who were much younger than Walter, who just their lives were, they were about done. And we can't help it if we get sick and stuff. Don't get me there. I'm not blaming people who go through difficulty. I'm speaking, we know what we can do to be healthier. And I became so thankful for Walter and Susan, the fact that they take care of themselves and they're here to walk with us and walk that out with us. And I use them as example. They're not the only ones, but it means so much. I know that I've talked with Dave Gleason about this, and he's shared with me. He said, Raymond, you talked about the life you had and what you wish you could take back to give you the health that you had wanted. And Ken, we've talked about those things. And that's, it's harder to get it back once you've given it away. And so what does that mean? Well, it just means it's here. It's like, we want to be able to provide opportunities. What it means that if he loves my physical body, meaning he has given me a body to live this life, that he is into me taking care of that. He's into me taking care of not only that, but my surroundings and those things around me to live my life in a way that honors him and brings it to other people. And so we'll talk about those things. I know, Derwood, you're getting mad at me now. I'm not going to, you know, Derwood, you look good. I'm not coming after you or nothing. I just want us to have that opportunity. And if you say, you know what, I'll do what I want, that's fine. But connecting with God means being able to connect with myself and look at some realities that are there. Man said all time, I mean, we may sit and go, man, I'm trying not to get drunk. Well, how about this? Try not to throw away your health, and you may not even get close to being drunk. The point is, if we would live our lives healthily, it cuts off a lot of the moral things we're going after. It will put us in a place of honoring God with our bodies, and that's what we want to do in that sense. And here's the last one, the last two, as it were. How do we connect with one another? Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 13. He says, let no debt remain in Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commandments they may be, again, big moral stuff, these are summed up in this command, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when you begin to connect with others through love, these other things aren't even possibilities. If I try not to have adultery, and that's all I'm trying not to do, that's not a life. But loving one another, I try not to kill you, I've never killed you, you can't say I'm a bad person, I never killed you. I don't want you just every day try not to kill me. I'd like for you to love me. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You guys, I need work on that. That's what I want in my life. Love can be challenging and frightful at times. Lord knows it. Brene Brown, who's an author that Joel Looney likes a lot. I love this quote that she wrote. I think she's on staff at the University of Houston. She says, vulnerability is the birthplace of connection and the path to the feeling of worthiness. If it doesn't feel vulnerable, the sharing is probably not constructive. Being vulnerable means that if I'm going to love, I must be ready to hurt. We just did a memorial service here for Frank's mom, JJ, last week. And the tears that flow are the testimony of the love that was had for the woman. That's what love does. It has to be open to hurting. Does that mean that I'm asking you to be in a relationship where someone's taking abuse of you? Not at all. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it is a difficult thing at times to open to love. And I know the Lord knows that I've got areas that need work. And I'm just saying this year, I'm committing to connecting. Committing to connecting. I'm committing saying, I'm going to press in. I'm going to press in, Bill. You and me. You and me. Sam wants to make sure you're going to the children's camp. He's been telling me three times. Connected. He wants to connect with Bill Berry. He says to me, are you going to the children's camp, Dad? I said, that's in August or July. He goes, okay, but how about Bill? I want Mr. Bill to go. So there you go. So yeah, call his boss. Get him off work. I want that kind of relationship that longs for my friend to be with me. That wants to say, I want you with me. That's what I want. A connection with others in relationship is a commitment to love and depth of life. And as I tell you that depth of life, I explain that to you. Because I think love is a many splintered thing, sure. But it's defined in many ways. But depth of life, if you want real life, it has pain and it also has joy. And that goes back to some of the emotional healing, because if you can't deal with pain, you won't have a depth of life. And that's why we want to get healing, so we can begin to function in a proper way, so that we can be able to hear the word no and it doesn't kill us. We also connect with others through another way, and I leave it at this. Paul would write to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, that in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Paul speaking to the church there that was giving a gift to another that was going through difficulty or going to go through difficulty. This is a part of what it means to connect with others, is being able to receive and to give. Bonhoeffer would say this here as he was in that prison cell. He said, when you are alone, you just don't realize how much you received from the body of Christ. When you can't be with the body of Christ, the thing that you thought you were always giving to, you realize something you received much more than you ever gave. And I thank God that today we can meet together and live life together and be together. A connection with others through giving is a commitment to live dependent upon God. And this sermon will be preached weeks from now, so you have time to look at that. But as I put it down there, as you write that down, I want you to see giving as a way of connecting with others. Not just giving to some large church or something of that nature. It's a way we connect with others. I'm not afraid of someone asking me for something. I'm not afraid to say no if I don't have it or I'm not able to give that. The point is, I want to help and I want to be involved. I want to be someone who's not just a project, but who's getting a project. Not just being one. One who can get involved and be able to help people through their lives. I want to be able to live my life in the simplistic way so that I have funds ready to help someone else who's going through that time of life that they need help in. What does it mean, a commitment to live dependent upon God? Means it's here. And John Wimber once said this here, the founder of the Vineyard. He's sitting there preaching about what it means to be dependent upon God. He said, I just remember those times when I'd given my life to God and I was a musician and I lived hand to mouth with God. And he says, you know, it really isn't that bad to live, he said. And in front of 3,000 plus people, he says, isn't that right, Raymond? So called out in front of everyone as a poor little boy. That is correct. I realize It's not about not having anything. It's not about living on the edge. It's about understanding that everything I have, he gave me, and that he's the one taking care of me, and that being rich and having all that we want often undercuts our faith in God and depending upon him to take care of us. There's a toxicity that comes with money. It's this thing of I can rely on this. There's this fear that people are going to get it from me and someone's going to take advantage of me, and it begins to do things to us to take away the humanity that we were made for. And all of a sudden our whole life is about taking care of the nest egg, and it's got nothing to do whatsoever about the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you, as you may have plenty of money, and I hope that you do and God's blessing you, never allow that toxicity to steal with you. By the way, if you have nothing, that toxicity's there as well. It's this fear of never having. It's this fear of poverty. You can't give out of that either. He wants to come and take that away so that you can have as much as he gives you and it not ruin you. He wants to come and get to you that you can go through difficult times and it not ruin you. Giving does that. It says, this doesn't own me. God does. And it breaks the back of poverty, and it breaks the back of independence and puts us back into dependence on God. Would you stand with me now? I've just set up what we're going to be looking at in the next weeks. So I guess if you didn't like it, we won't see you for a while. But I'm hoping, with all due respect to you and certainly respect to my Father in heaven and his Son, Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is now moving on your heart to get excited about what it means to commit to connection, to what it means to give my life to these things, to not give up and say, I'm ready to live that life. Invite the Holy Spirit to come now. Some of you were actually touched in your heart, and he brought to you a certain remembrance, something he began to move upon and say, that's what I want to deal with in you. You don't have to wait till we get to that week. Even today, he's moving, and we can begin prayer. We can begin praying for the things that he wants to change in your life and the things that you want to see changed in your life. That's what we do for one another. Through prayer, we come and lay hands and say, come, Holy Spirit, let your kingdom come now. So I invite you. I invite you to come forward for prayer. I invite you to come and say, if I don't know Jesus Christ, that's the one I want to connect with. That's the one I want to show me God. That's the God I want to know, the one who loves me, not the one who wants to kill me. The one who loves me, to send a son after me. He might save me from all the wrath that this world is giving out. But my choices, from the choices of those around me. I invite the ministry team to come forward. As they come forward this morning, that's what they're going to do, is they're going to ask the Lord to come and meet you right here. And these are wonderful, nice people. They're not experts. They're just people who know the Lord, who are going to pray with you. They know what it means to receive prayer. Therefore, they know what it means to ask for prayer for you. And as you come forward, may the Holy Spirit come and bring complete healing to your life. I want to remind you, when you're done, we're going to go over and eat next door and continue the celebration of a 14-year anniversary. And I want to thank God for that. I want to thank him for 14 years. Because I tell you, every one of them was fraught with difficulties, and every one of them was given over to great joy and great abundance. And it's seen in the testimony of your faces as you're here today celebrating with me this kingdom of God that we so much talk about. I invite you down even as I bless you, and you can come afterwards as well. Come, Holy Spirit. Now connect with us, even as we're connecting back. I bless you now in the name of the Father. May his countenance shine upon you, Father. Would you just come and let him sense how much you love him and the call you have on each one of their lives, and that you've not passed over one. Let your reins come and begin to move on their lives, that the word would grow. And Jesus, that you would come and that they would sense that forgiveness, that mercy, and that call to the kingdom life. And I bless you also in the name of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that you would experience him in the most powerful ways, that you would know he's a true and living God. It would bring healing and prosperity and peace to your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.